This morning's public read comes from 1 Samuel chapter 17, and then we're going to read the first five verses of chapter 18. So find 1 Samuel 17, and we're going to pick up with verse 55, and then we're going to move into chapter 18, the first five verses. Again, the chapter and verse division doesn't help here, but we're going to make it help in our read. Ready? 1 Samuel chapter 17. Again, we're coming on the heels of David's victory over Goliath. God's Word. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, Inquire thou, whose son the stripling is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. So he's still carrying this thing, dripping with blood, apparently. And Saul said to him, Whose son art thou? Thou young man. And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, notice how the chapter division here doesn't help, unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David in his garment, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Well, please be seated, and may God bless his word. So, the battle's done. David, with the spoil of war in his hand, we find that in verses 57, where it says that when he was brought before Saul, with the head of the Philistine in his hand. So David had a firm grip on that head as he carried it around following his victory. Now, it would seem, now some people, you know, you have to read this several times. Saul is not asking for David's identity, as some kind of assume. He's asking David's father's name, whose son is he? Because prior to this, Saul was familiar with David, and he may not have remembered his father, David's father's name. That's what's being asked here. Sometimes some people automatically think that, you know, Saul must have had a brain dump and he didn't recognize David. He knew who David was. He's asking, who's your father? Okay, who's his father? And so Saul saw David go forth unto the Philistine, and he talks to Abner, who seems to be the general in charge of the army. Abner doesn't know whose son is this youth. And Abner said, As my soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. I don't know who his daddy is. And the king says, Well, I want you to go find out, inquire whose son the stripling is. Okay? So as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him to Saul. And again, David clutching the head of the dead giant is still in his hand. And Saul said unto him, Whose son art thou, thou young man? So he calls him a stripling and a young man. So he wasn't probably 13, and he was definitely not 40 years old. So he was somewhere in that age group. David answered, I'm the son of thy servant, Jesse, the Bethlehemite. So here We see the groundwork, the history, the backdrop to the greater David, the Lord Jesus, who would be born in Bethlehem, Ephrata, where David was born. So notice the connection. You're already being primed and prepped for the greater David, who would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, chapter 18, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Now, I would imagine that there are some people today with the LGBTQXYZ to the square, to the third, to the fifth power, they would automatically look at this and say, see, David and Jonathan were homosexuals. See, Bible doesn't speak negatively on LGBTQ, X, Y, and Z. Beloved, this has nothing to do with any kind of a sexual relationship or these two guys going to bed together. This is talking about a very strong brotherly bond between these two men, two warriors, if you will. Jonathan was a warrior. David is now cultivating that warrior skill within him that he would use quite amply in the days ahead. This has nothing to do with an illicit relationship, as some would try to make it out. Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Now, that relationship that Saul and David has, that's described in verses 2, that's not going to last long. But the bond between David and Jonathan will last until Jonathan is killed on the battlefield. But the hunky-dory relationship between Saul, King Saul, and the stripling or the young man David mentioned in verse 2 is only going to last for a season until King Saul becomes envious and jealous of David's popularity as time would move on. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because the love he had for as his own soul. Now, the closest I can get to verses 3. You ever hear of blood brothers? You ever hear, you know, years ago you would find a couple of kids. This is when kids actually played outside and they weren't distracted by a little thing called the cell phone. When we actually went outside in the sun and we scraped our knees and we fell and we broke a limb and we broke a leg, you know, out there in the monkey bars. And someone had a little pocket knife. And you had two guys, two young boys, that they were inseparable. And they took that little knife, pocket knife, and they made a little sliver on their fingertips, and they put their fingertips together, and they made this covenant, blood brothers until death, this bond. You find that bond, that type of a bond, in the military. Especially those who are going to go into combat. Because everybody's going to cover everybody's backside. You need that brother next to you with that rifle, with that gun, or with that whatever. That's what you find in verse 3. This has nothing to do with lewdness, as some would try to squeeze it into the text. And then notice, Jonathan and David didn't express this bond by going to bed. How does Jonathan express it? Well, he strips himself of the robe that was upon him. And that robe was a sign of status and symbol. He gives it to David and his garments, even to his sword. Beloved, a soldier doesn't give away the weapon that's going to be used to protect them. His bow to his girdle. That's how Jonathan demonstrated this brotherly bond with young David. Nothing lewd. Nothing in a back room or in a closet. Nothing done in hiding. Because David, when he receives this stuff, he's going to adorn himself with these gifts that Jonathan just now gave him. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him. We're going to find that that's going to be the start of the envy and the jealousy. Whatever task, whatever job Saul gave to David, David got it done. And he behaved himself wisely And that really aggravated King Saul, because King Saul at this point had already lost the kingdom because he didn't act wisely. So David's salt and light is going to aggravate this king. Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people. That's going to cause a problem eventually, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. So notice how God exalts David. And it's going to be this godly exaltation on the part of God upon David as God simply anoints him and equips him. Saul is going to become full of envy, full of jealousy and bitterness. And then Saul is going to go out of his way to kill David. Now, are you ready for this as I close? What about the greater David? What did the Pharisees say about the popularity of Jesus? The whole world is going after him. And the Romans are going to get mad, John chapter 11. And they're going to come and take away our kingdom and our power. We can't afford that. And the high priest that time prophesied, it's expedient that we get rid of one. Just get rid of him for us to keep our power and to lay a firm grip on our nation that the Romans have given to us. Isn't it amazing that Jesus' popularity with the sinners and the riffraff and the drunks and the harlots and the whores and the tax collectors, the Pharisees became envious, like Saul became envious of young David. The Pharisees are going to become envious and jealousy of the greater David. And therefore he had to be extinguished. Look at the lesser David. Saul now will put a bullseye on David's back, just like the religious leaders put a bullseye on the back of Christ. Well, may the Lord choose to bless his word. Amen.